And then Luke says in the 39th verse, "And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, into their own city Nazareth." We want to go today over to the book of Matthew, the second chapter, and fill in the events that occurred that this verse does not make mention of. And we're talking about the event of Christ going into Egypt and of the wise men coming to give him gifts. So Matthew chapter 2, we're actually leaving the book of Luke at this time, but just for temporary study. Matthew chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews?'" Now these wise men that came from the east, in many ways, are kind of a mysterious lot. And I'd like to read to you a passage from a writing given by J.W. McGarvey back around 1910 or so, as to what he has to say about these wise men. And now we're quoting from Mr. McGarvey's book, beginning on page 41. "This word designates an order or caste of priests and philosophers called Magi, M-A-G-I, which existed in the countries east of the Euphrates from a very remote period. We first find the word in Scripture at Jeremiah 39:13 in the name Rab Mag, which signifies chief Magi. This class is frequently referred to in the book of Daniel, where its members are called magicians, and it is probable that Daniel himself was a Rab Mag, from Daniel 5, verse 11. The order is believed to have arisen among the Chaldeans and to have come down through the Assyrian, Median, and Persian kingdoms. The Magi were in many ways the Levites of the East. They performed all public religious rites, claimed exclusive mediatorship between God and man, were the authority on all doctrinal points, constituted the supreme council of the realm, and had charge of the education of the royal family. They practiced divination, interpreted dreams, and professed to foretell the destinies of men. They were particularly famous for their skill in astronomy, and had kept a record of the more important celestial phenomena, which dated back several centuries prior to the reign of Alexander the Great." There is no nothing said here as to the number of these wise men, nor as to the country from whence they came. Now that's quoting from Mr. McGarvey's book and giving a little background concerning the wise men. They came from the east to Jerusalem. One thing that's outstanding to me about them is that they were not Jews. They were not considered to be among God's people at this time. Yet they came from a far distance. They came as foreigners to seek this one that they referred to as being born king of the Jews. They were saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Now they came, as Matthew says, to worship him. Had seen his star in the east, and they followed this star and had come for this purpose. "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Now Herod was very upset over the fact that there was someone else who was being branded as a king, and this to him was a rival. This was a competition and a challenge to his authority, and so he was troubled about it. "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." Now he knew enough, although he wasn't a righteous man, he knew enough to know where to look for the Messiah. So he gathered together the chief priests and the scribes of the people, and he demanded of them where Christ should be born. He wanted them to tell him. He knew that they knew the prophecies. They understood some of the teachings of the Old Testament to the extent that they could quote these prophecies, and he wanted to know from them where he would be born. "And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. This prophecy is from Micah 5, verses 2 through 4, and it relates then to the fact that the Messiah, the Christ, would come from Bethlehem. It would come out of Bethlehem. Well, Herod was now seeking to destroy the Christ child. He did not want him as a rival, and so his questioning was strictly from the standpoint of greed and selfishness. So he has asked these scribes and priests, and he gets this answer. And so we notice now the several classes of people who have been seeking Jesus. First of all, there were the shepherds. And then there were the wise men. And then there were the was this King Herod. And then the scribes and the priests. And they seek him and they find him from several standpoints. The shepherds had revealed to them from the angel where he was. They found him as a result of an angel revealing to them. Whereas the wise men followed a star, a strictly phenomenon of the of astronomy. Whereas the scribes and the priests followed the scriptures, and they could find him that way. Yet they didn't have enough concern and enough faith to even go to seek him. Yet they could quote from the scriptures where he was to be found. And Herod, he found from the interpretation of these scriptures by the scribes and priests, he found where he was supposed to be. So men all seeking him on different levels and for different causes, and yet everything points exactly to where he was. So verse 7, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he said, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Now he was strictly being a hypocrite here. He pretended like he wanted to go worship him, but what he really wanted to do was to discover where he was so he could do away with him. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. So this star led them right to where the young child was. And they followed it, and had no trouble, apparently, being able to find him. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now these men had come from a long ways, apparently. They'd come from another country. And much of their coming and much of their background still remains a mystery to us as to why these foreigners, these people who were not even Jews, why they came to recognize him as a king. But this has some very deep significance that he was a king, and he is a king today, and he is to be treated and regarded as a king. These foreign men came and regarded him as a king, and that's symbolic then of his everlasting kingship. So they rejoiced exceedingly whenever they saw the star. Verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now they apparently did more here than just regard him as being a king, because they gave him some worship. They fell down and worshipped him. It's most difficult for us to perceive as to what kind of a law they would have been following to have fallen down and worshipped Jesus. The law of Moses didn't prescribe for this kind of worship, and these people made no pretense of being Jews. There's nothing said about them being Jews. They didn't even live in the Jewish nation at all, but yet they fell down and they worshipped him. it's quite likely that they were living under a law that we give very little heed to, and that is the law of the patriarchs. This patriarchal law could still very likely have been in effect, and God could still have been dealing with other countries as heads of families, like he did originally the Jews, by dealing with the patriarchs. But at any rate, they recognized him for what he was. He was the Christ, he was a king, and they came and they fell down and they worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. And of course, there are three gifts named here, or three kinds of gifts named, and many people have concluded that there were three magi, or three wise men, but this we have no evidence of at all. These gifts were consisted of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The gold, of course, we know what that is, a precious metal, and frankincense was a type of seasoning or spice, and myrrh was also a seasoning or spice that could also be used as a preservative. And these were precious and important gifts. Now, one thing we want to point out here at this point is that at this time Jesus had been to Jerusalem, and he had been Mary had finished her days of purification, and so this is at least 40 days after his birth. So we know that this was not the birthday of Jesus when these wise men came, and they were not giving birthday presents. What they were doing is giving gifts to a king, or to one who was superior, as has been and still is the custom of people in the East, particularly among the kings. And if Jesus were born on December the 25th, this was not December the 25th. This was 40 days later, but we know he wasn't born December the 25th. This was not his birthday. And yet people take this action as some kind of an example to celebrate Christ's birthday, but it has nothing to do with his birthday. This is not his birthday. This is at least 40 days after his birthday. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So God warned these men not to go back to Herod. Herod was up to no good when it came to the Christ child, and so God warned them not to return to Herod, and they departed into their own country and went another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Now, apparently this happened as soon as these men had departed. As soon as the wise men had left, the angel of the Lord appeared to unto Joseph in a dream. So we know then that they went to Jerusalem for the presenting of Christ to the Lord, and that Mary had finished her days of purification before these events, because they didn't go afterwards, they went before. And still, I'm saying this to substantiate the fact that Christ was at least 40 days old and maybe older at this time. So, when they were departed, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." So, Joseph was warned to get up and take him out and go to Egypt. They left the country, went to Egypt, and were to stay there until the angel brought him word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose and took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Now, this originally was a prophecy relating to the coming out of Egypt of the children of Israel, but it had its greater fulfillment in the reference to the Lord Christ having been called out of Egypt. Now, this is a great paradox. Egypt was a land that always signified to the Jewish people sin and the state of bondage. Yet, Egypt was the land to which the Lord had to go in order to have his life protected at this crucial time whenever King Herod was trying to take his life. So it's quite interesting, and yet it's a paradox to note that these things did happen this way. Now they stayed there, and they were to stay there until the death of Herod. And We know that Herod was sick, according to history, for some 40 days and in seclusion before he died. So we know that they stayed there at least a period of 40 days because Herod was seeking him when he left, and then they still had to go through this 40 days of seclusion and illness before he actually died. Verse 15, And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled. Well, I've already read that verse. Verse 16, Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Now Herod saw that the wise men weren't going to come back and tell him about the Christ and where the Christ was. And so he had been mocked by them, and he was exceeding wroth. He just was very upset about it. So in order to try to recoup his loss at learning where Christ was, he just passed a decree that all of the children from 2 years old and under, born during that time, would just be put to death. And we don't know exactly how many children this was, because it wasn't a large area of territory, but estimates have been made that there were from anywhere from 12 to 50 children put to death as a result of this. And this was a terrible thing to do. It also helped fulfill the type of Christ being a type of Moses, or Moses a type of Christ, because after the birth of Moses, you know, people were having their children put to death, and Moses escaped, and so the same is true here. Christ escaped this. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not." Now Rachel was the mother of Benjamin, and Benjamin had his territory here where this area was, and so that's why the prophecy referred then to Rachel weeping for her children, because this is the mother of Benjamin, and this is the tribe of Benjamin that's located here. And so the prophecy was fulfilled. And again, we see the completeness and the perfectness and the all-knowingness of the Bible, how that it all fits, it all works out in perfect harmony if we only but know how to interpret it. But when Herod was dead, now that's all Matthew says about Herod's illness and death. When Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life." Now, the angel simply is giving Joseph the go-ahead. Go back now. Those that tried to take his life, they're dead. And so it's safe for you to go back. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Now this, when Herod died, he turned his realm over to his three sons. And Archelaus was one of them, and he was particularly evil. And when Joseph heard that Archelaus was ruling in this same place where his father had been, he hesitated to go there. He was afraid to go there. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. So he went on up into Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Now, a Nazarene was a term that indicated humbleness and lowliness. It actually meant a kind of a root. And so the prophet said he would be called a Nazarene. And we remember now that this town was very obscure. Nazareth was very obscure, not even mentioned in the Old Testament by any of the Old Testament writers and any of the prophets. But yet, Jesus was referred to as Jesus of Nazareth. whenever he spoke to Paul, or Saul rather, on the road to Damascus, he said that this is Jesus of Nazareth, and so he shall be called a Nazarene. And so we go back now to Luke, the second chapter, this 39th verse, in which Luke says that when they performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And so we've now filled in that portion that Luke left out about the wise men and the going into Egypt and the killing of the little children there in Bethlehem. We fill that in, and that all goes into this 39th verse of the second chapter of Luke. And as Luke says, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. This is where Joseph and Mary were from. This was their home city. And then they took the little baby back there for the first time to resume their life. So we'll conclude at that point for now. Then next time to begin with the 40th verse of the second chapter of Luke. Thank you.